Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The Trippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes attired.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
It's on the short standing ball. Take color 9 now at 844-999-OLA, and you'll play profile this in minutes. But first, Bobbin, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And The Men's Room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Stephen Thrillhill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today, we toast 47-year-old Matthew Davies of, oh, man, Dunfermline, England. Anyway, Matthew decided that, like a lot of us, he wants money. But he didn't want to burden himself with, you know, getting a job. So he decided to rob a bank instead. He went old school. He entered a Bank of Scotland branch, pulled a meat cleaver out of a pillowcase.
Ooh.
Right? Kind of digging that.
Mm-hmm.
The meat cleaver, obviously, this would serve as his weapon, while the pillowcase would serve as his mask. You see there? Two for one.
Mm.
Walk in with the meat cleaver, pull it out of the pillowcase, pop the pillowcase over your head, bam, instant mask. But that was the plan. But when he slipped the pillowcase over his head, he realized that he'd failed to cut out eye holes. So now he just has a bag over his head. He can't see anything. So he had to take the pillowcase back off of his head. So now, face exposed, he decided, what the hell, I'm going to follow through on this. He threatened another customer with the meat cleaver, broke a bunch of stuff, like a glass partition, ended up walking with about $3,000. He did not notice, however, a different bank customer who followed him home, because he did not have a getaway vehicle. He walked home. This guy followed him at a safe distance, called the cops, gave him the address, and he has been arrested.
Damn. What a moron.
I like the idea that, ha-ha, I got my pillowcase, and you put it on like, I can't see.
He never even tried it out?
He never tried it out. That's what I'm saying. I don't know how much thought he put into this plan. I'm guessing it was kind of like, I don't know, you're watching something on TV. Commercial break hits, and you're like, am I hungry? Do I feel like robbing a bank? What the hell? Let's rob a bank.
What an eye hole.
Whoops. I'll give you that one.
Yeah, I was trying to think of ghost jokes.
Anything.
Basically walked in there like Casper, right?
Yeah, either way, man, even if you cut the holes out of the sheet in the first place.
Pillowcase, yeah.
The pillowcase. To be able to put that on correctly so that it would sit in the proper area where you would actually be able to see.
I thought about that myself, right?
I mean, I'm not exactly sure that half your face wouldn't be exposed anyway. I mean, you have to be really good to slip that over your head just perfectly so you can see.
Where do you put your mask on, right? Because this guy walked. So even if he had a mask that worked, right? I don't know. He got a monkey mask or something. Like, I feel like if I'm standing outside of a bank and I see someone put a monkey mask on and enter the bank, I know what's going on. I'm probably going to call the cops. If you've walked into the bank and then you put the mask on, well, there's a good chance someone's already seen you anyway, and you're certainly on surveillance. So, like, mm-hmm.
And you got to walk out to a decent distance, because if you take it off as soon as you get out, like, there's CCTV somewhere around.
That's what I mean. But you can't walk that far down the street wearing a monkey mask or whatever the hell it is you decided to put on. Look, if you're going to rob a bank, have a vehicle. I think that is key.
Or if you're going to walk, turn around. Make sure that nobody's following you home.
Yeah, something.
Also, it seems like an interesting experiment.
What's that?
Just walk into a bank with a weird mask on and see what happens.
I'll let you do that.
I will say this, though. As far as a weapon of choice, you could have a small knife. You could stab someone and do some damage. But when I see that meat cleaver, man, that's...
You think crazy.
I think you're out of your mind. Because
yes.
When you cut into me, man, you're gonna get a major artery.
That's the thing.
Right? Well, you got to keep in mind, too, he's in England, right? So having a blade on you, period, is a massive, massive deal. Like, even if you have a pocket knife, like, that's a big deal there. And people look at you different.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm guessing this idiot literally, kind of like Thrill said, literally grabbed something out of the kitchen, grabbed the pillowcase, and walked up there.
He probably pulled the pillowcase off of the pillow that was on his bed. I mean, like, if you didn't take the time to cut eye holes and you need a mask, like, come on, man.
Then he walked straight home.
He walked straight home. Yes, he did. Mm. And that is why we chose, the reason we know his name is because he failed. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the... to party in our tunnies. Down the hola, bitola. All right, Wobbin, the game is...
The Men's Room presents... Profile This.
And Steve at Thrill, hooked to please tell everyone how Profile This is played.
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. Hola. All right, Dan, the man with the plan. You understand how this here game is played?
I do.
All right. We're not getting married. Easy with the language. All right. Now, here you go. As I started doing on yesterday's program, I'm going to offer you one of three stories. Do you want the story about ethnicity / race? Would you like the story where you guess the state, or a story where you guess the age of the person involved? All of them multiple choice, of course. So you have ethnicity, state, or age.
I'll go with age.
Age. Go with age.
Okay.
All right. This is our first age one. Here is your general story. It happened in Lake Stevens, Washington, where our driver... who originally was contacted for driving recklessly around Lake Stevens, he managed to total his car in an attempt to flee from officers. Now, the original call to police came just after 8 p.m., reporting a driver doing donuts in a store parking lot, driving recklessly down the street at Frontier Village. Now, when officers arrived at the scene, the driver rammed one of the cop cars, then sped off. About 2 miles later, as police are giving chase, the driver loses control, veers off the road, hits a tree, eventually rolling into a ravine. Now, the driver, in spite of all of that, he managed to get out of the car, but he eventually was arrested by police, was not seriously injured in the crash. No officers were hurt. And investigators are looking into whether or not, well, just what the hell the motivation was. Now, my question for you, keep in mind, the cops are initially called because you're doing donuts in the parking lot. When the cops show up, you speed off down the road. When they try to box you in, you ram one of the cop cars and essentially you lose control in the ravine. You're finally arrested. Do you believe that the person behind the wheel was 7, 12, 40, or 60 years old? 7, 12, 40, or 60 years old?
I'm going to go with 12.
I'm going to go to 12.
Okay.
Why 12?
I don't know. Seems like something after, like, watching Grand Theft Auto a couple times. Like, 7 probably can't reach the gas pedal and steer at the same time.
We've had stories of dogs doing donuts in cul-de-sacs within the last 2 months.
Yes.
All right, so they're doing donuts in the cul-de-sac.
They're doing donuts in the store parking lot. That's initially...
And then the police called because they were doing donuts and it was getting a little bit crazy and out of control.
Right.
So they called the police because this guy wouldn't stop doing these donuts, kid, whoever. And then the police came. When the police came, the dude peels out, right? Or the kid, or whatever. Drives down the road, and then when the police try to stop him, he rams the cop car with his car, and then ends up going into a ditch.
He drives off again.
Oh, he drives off again.
After he drives into the cop car, man, they take off again. It's 2 miles after they ram the cop car that they lost control. The car flips over and goes down the ravine. And then they get out of the car. They're going to go off on foot, but the cops manage
to run again.
Yeah.
See, I feel like if it was a 7 or a 12-year-old, they wouldn't have made it that far driving. They might have crashed it just doing donuts or the first time. Like, I'm not giving this person credit, but obviously they knew something because they... They made it for a while before they finally crashed the car.
And where was this again? In
Lake Stevens, Washington.
Ted, you've been everywhere. What's in Lake Stevens?
I've been everywhere, man.
So there's the CCR, where I like to get breakfast, like the Choice Restaurant.
The CCR?
Yeah. It is amazing.
And then there's...
what is? If you name a small town, Ted's been there.
CCR, Collector's Choice.
Oh.
Used to be in the old antique mall.
What do you
get? It's also Hawkeyes, and it's pretty good little chicken wings.
Okay, what do you get when you go there for breakfast?
Depends on the day.
Okay.
So I know Lake Stevens pretty well. Got
apparently.
Friends.
Seems that way.
Yeah, you do.
Good God, man.
It's up one of my favorite places also, the Tom Thumb. All right, I'll stop.
Is that a bar?
Just a convenience store.
Oh.
Big supporter of the Red for years.
Oh, nice. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the people I know that live up there.
So 7, 12, 40, or 60. Right. Doing donuts, cops give chase, ran the cop car, drive off again, spill the car in the ravine. And that's all the info I got.
I mean, I'm with him. It's somewhere between 12 and 40. I think 60's too old. I think 7's too young. But I just don't know if I can go with 12, man, because it seems like this has to be somewhat of an adult. Again, to elude the cops and ram them and then finally crash the car.
Do they mention what kind of car they were driving?
They do not.
Okay.
I do not. Let me see. Even if it just says a car, so I assume it is, in fact, a car, because if it's an SUV, they always detail that it's an SUV. So it was a car.
What do you think of there, Miles?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Miles is a great deal of help.
Yeah. How about a theory?
I got no idea. I got no idea. I don't have any idea. I mean, I would guess 12. Based on the fact you're doing donuts. I mean, I can't remember the last time I was someone like, just like, dude, just go do some donuts. And I was like, yeah. Like, if they go, dude, just go do some donuts. I'd be like, no, let's not do donuts. Let's just go home.
Yeah, that does seem younger. I don't know, man. I'm still leaning 40s. It seems like the person was a decent driver.
Okay.
Now, with that said, maybe this 12-year-old's been stealing cars and driving all over.
There you go.
By the way, Ted, I don't know anything about this, but a lot of people are commenting, CCR is in Snohomish.
CCR is in Snohomish.
Not Lake Stevens. Collector's Choice is in Snohomish. I get it.
The girl I was dating lived out now that way. I confused the two. So take Hawkeyes and Tom Thumb already. Get off my back.
God, you don't know everything. I mean, come on.
I mean, it is on everybody. Yes. Okay,
it's
fine.
It's in Star Wars. It's still delicious.
Okay, Dan.
Get off the point.
What do you think of here on this? Doing donuts, I'm chased by police.
I'm still leaning with 12 because I think anything else, like somebody's too sane unless they were on PCP or something.
Okay.
Nobody like Stevens is doing PCP.
Oh, I bet you you're wrong.
So you're going to stick with 12, Dan, as a final answer?
That's my final answer.
Okay, we're going to find out if the driver was 7, 12, 40, or 60 next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hola, bitches. You're listening to The Men's Room.
We stay here at home on the great state of Washington for Profile This. We've got a driver who initially police were called because this guy was doing some crazy donuts in a parking lot of a convenience store.
Yeah.
So police show up. He takes off. A chase ensues. He rams a police car. continues on his way, ends up crashing and totaling the car into a ravine, tries to run away on foot before he is eventually apprehended.
Yes, indeed. And the question we had for you, Dan, multiple choice. You pick the age category, 7, 12, 40, or 60 years old. How old is this person that does everything that Miles just described? And in the end, you went 12 years old. And by the way, a ton of people in the comments agreed with you. Said, man, it's like, that's video game stuff. I'm telling you, 12-year-old.
Oh, no!
Sorry. Not 12 years old. One more guess, Ted?
I said 40.
Nope, not 60? 40. 60 years old.
Donut time!
Really? And
my own donut, delicious donut. Now for all TV news all time, time for TV, time for TV.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box.
I'm again.
The Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
You know, my dad invented that move when he told the guy at the drive-thru, I'll stay here all effing day.
But at the drive-thru?
Yeah.
Sir, I'm 16, man. I just want to finish my shift and go home.
Pop the zit on my nose, it's hurting.
So when you get to playoff baseball season, there's some weird things that happen. You might remember, oh, Christ, this had to be 15 years ago. There was a famous play, I think it's Red Sox Yankees, and Alex Rodriguez kind of slaps the ball out of the first baseman's hand or whatever.
Oh,
so he's
yeah,
ruled
yeah.
safe. Like, weird things just happen in playoff baseball, right? So, what else? You know what? I'm sure every, you know, if you ever were a fan of the ball, oh, is that what you're laughing at?
Yeah, every time, same time every day, the sun comes in and hits you right in the face.
Exactly. And
it's
exactly
shining right on.
I know. It's amazing.
One time I went to a festival and we got in the river and I sat right in one beam of light. It's like, you look like a little chirrup. It's like, I am. I'm holier than thou.
Anyhow,
so then there was Jeffrey, what's his name? Jeffrey Meyer? Jeffrey Mayer?
Oh, the kid at Cubs, was it?
No, that Jeffrey Mayer was the guy that reached over against the Orioles and Tony Tarasco and stole a home run. There was the poor guy in Chicago years ago. So like leaning over the wall, touching balls, these things happen in playoff postseason baseball. Last night, the Red Sox and Houston Astros gave us another one.
Altuve, right field, back there. That's at the track. He leaps, and it is out. It's off a fan. No, they're saying off of bats. It is in play. They may be calling it interference. I'm trying to get a read on the right field umpire here.
Mookie with the jump. He had it measured. It looked like he was going to catch it, and he gets stopped from catching it from the hand of the fan. The fan closed his glove, closed Mookie Betts' glove prematurely because it pushed up against the leather. Did they reach over that yellow line into the field of play, or is Mookie over the field of play into the stands?
Now that's
the question.
So the rule states if a spectator reaches out onto the playing field side of a fence to prevent a fielder from catching a ball, batsman should be called out. And out is the call.
Wow. Oh. So obviously that game was in Houston. They're upset they didn't get the home run. I didn't know that was like part of the rule. You can watch that. Honestly, I think people are arguing about it. I don't know if it's an out or a home run, but it's up to the mention Facebook page.
The way they were describing it, actually, like they know exactly what the right call is, though.
Yeah, I mean,
right, the way they said this is the rule, so it must be there.
Yeah, I think there's also like, isn't there also just like human reaction when that ball's coming at you?
Yeah, sure, man.
Like I just feel like I would naturally kind of put my hands up to it because I don't want it to thump me in the chest.
Right.
I mean, a Major League Baseball player just hit this thing.
And remember, your natural reaction. We have to ignore that in sports, NFL. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're right. I mean, that's exactly what he
your
did
natural
is what
reaction
anyone would do
as a person
is to not get hit with a projectile.
And there's very few ballparks that allow that for you to be right that on that wall that close. There's a handful of them, but most are not. Most have an area behind it or whatever. It's or the wall's too high. There's all kinds of other elements, you know, where you could interfere, but you wouldn't interfere with the actual player.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an interesting one. One of the, you know, that's what I'm saying. Just crazy stuff happens there. I feel like other sports, like there's playoffs, but, you know, baseball's got so many weird rules as it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's a simple sport, right? See ball, hit it with a stick.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to do. Man, I don't know what goes on in baseball in the postseason, but it's always crazy stuff there. You guys Big Bird fans?
Yeah,
man,
totally. I don't know if I'm a fan, but, you know, I'm a partial to him.
You're not a bird head?
I did not know that's a group. No, I'm not a bird head.
Yeah, man. Big Bird heads. That's what we call ourselves. I'm in the yellow section of the club.
Okay. That's original.
It's weird they talk about him being Big Bird because he was also Oscar the Grouch.
Exactly.
Same guy.
Yes. And he's retiring.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Miles, I know you've watched the thing on him. Puppeteer named Carol Spiney.
Okay.
All right. I got it right. He's voiced Sesame Street characters Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch for nearly 50 years. Damn. But he's retiring this week. He said, Big Bird brought me to so many places, opened my mind, and nurtured my soul. Also, he was
famous. I am Big Bird, I will nurture your soul.
You know what's funny? I don't think of myself as the biggest birder, but like...
the biggest birder.
But like, when you listen to this clip of Big Bird talking, like, it just makes you feel wholesome and good again.
You're crummy.
Oh, come on now, Oscar.
I like being miserable. That makes me happy.
It does.
But I don't like being happy, so that makes me miserable.
Today, ladies and gentlemen, I proclaim this Big Bird Day in Hollywood.
Well, hi, and welcome to Sesame Street. You're just in time.
What's up, bitches?
He sounds so innocent.
Yeah, he is. He's. You know what? There's a documentary about him called "I Am Big Bird."
That's from.
And actually. It was absolutely phenomenal to watch because here you have this guy, this character, and he is iconic around the world as far as children are concerned. So anytime Big Bird goes anywhere, random kids will run up and hug him. They're not afraid of Big Bird. Like,
kids, I'm a germaphobe.
That's their guy.
But they're scared of most giant
things.
Right,
exactly, except for Big Bird. And the thing about him was he was in Big Bird. His mannerisms, everything about him, he was not.
I heard that about Kurt.
He was up all up in there. I mean, he put on his
back
pants.
In Studio 54, a lot of people were in
Big Bird. He pulled up his feathers like anybody else does and went out and was the bird. And the weird thing about it was it's iconic and it's famous and all those things. As soon as he took that costume off, he just walked down the street. But, you know, here's this guy who...
Yeah, now he's just a guy.
He's just a guy, and nobody knows who he is. And one of the craziest things, I told this story earlier in the office, it was just, it's gut-wrenching, was he's a puppeteer, too. So he's this guy, and he's got all these ideas, and he and Jim Henson collaborate, and they all just trying to form this troupe of just...
Jim Henson's a terp.
Of guys, and they were all just passionate about doing this, and they were also burners, and you know what I mean? They wanted to do something educational and fun for kids, but and give them safe places to have discussions and all that stuff. But Jim Henson passes away. I want to say his funeral was at the National Cathedral.
That makes sense.
Because College Park, D.C. Yeah. guy, he's an iconic guy. And Big Bird had to get up and do the eulogy. So
that had to be a hell of a thing.
So Big Bird goes up and does the eulogy, which, you know, it's Jim Henson's funeral. And what is the one song that Kermit the Frog's?
It's not easy being green.
It's not easy being green. I don't know if it was the Rainbow song, Rainbow Connection, or it was one of those songs where you remember it as a kid. But so
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Like Jim
those other mops can't deny.
So he's singing at Jim Henson's funeral, and I guess inside the costume he's just bawling because it's his best.
Well,
friend.
Sure.
You know, so his best friend's dead, but he still has to sing at the funeral and act like, oh, I'm happy, Big Bird. You know, and it's just like, oh, God, that's horrible.
You know? Also, I get it's Jim Henson, but that would be surreal to see Big Bird giving a eulogy.
I mean, like, it's the sad event, but on some level, I feel like I would start chuckling, like,
this is ridiculous.
What planet do I live on?
This is
a serious thing, and here's Big Bird, who I'm intimately familiar with. Maybe I shouldn't use that word. I am familiar with, right?
You were inside of Big Bird. Just like this guy. Yeah. You were in Big Bird, too.
That bird got around, man. It's a different time. But, I mean, you're giving a eulogy.
It was the 80s, bro.
Free living. Met Freddie Mercury and Big Bird.
Yeah, I mean, that would... The only thing I could compare it to, and this is much happier... But, like, I follow an English soccer club called Arsenal. So they weirdly have this gunner, the Gunnersaurus. It's a dinosaur because they're the gunners. But it was just a kid rode into a contest years ago, and they were like, all right, we'll use your dinosaur as the mascot. So then when he got married, Gunnersaurus showed up.
All right. That's cool. What do you think about, man? Like, you think
well,
about
when that kid dies, does Gunnersaurus have to go give the eulogy?
I don't know.
He should.
I just think as far as children's... Television is concerned. When you like, they're making a movie about Mr. Rogers right now.
Mm-hmm. I never liked it.
Captain Kangaroo.
There
was a number of different shows, but I don't
Proper
think.
Room, don't Zoom, think, yeah. Electric Company.
I just don't think there's anybody bigger than Big Bird. I don't think as far
you
as.
You think he's bigger than Kermit?
Well, I mean, yes, Kermit the Frog is huge. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying that just with that whole era of time, you know, like I think Sesame Street made more of an impact on a lot of people than
I think.
Than
as far as Sesame Street, it's Kermit and it's Big Bird. Yeah. People like Oscar the Grouch. I know like Elmo did his thing, but Elmo's new to right. Yeah. Everyone knows Bert and Ernie, but they weren't really anyone's favorite. You're right. Like Big Bird, somehow
those were the big guns, man. Big Bird was the a big gun. Bert and Ernie, man. You know, Oscar the Grouch, Kermit the Frog. Yeah, probably. He was a big gun. I think he was more of a Muppet, though.
Well, it's kind
of
like Winnie the Pooh. Up. Like, he kind of runs his roost, right? Like, you know Tigger and Piglet, but, like, Pooh's the guy.
Yeah, he's a man.
Kind of, though, man, but I don't know. I feel like...
He's the guy not wearing pants in the family.
Winnie the Pooh is like Mickey Mouse or Luke Skywalker. Or, like, we know everything's supposed to focus on you, but among your group of peers, you're the least popular. You know, people dig Tigger. People dig Piglet and all... Winnie the Pooh was there, we get it, but you're like, yeah.
He's like a Pillsbury Doughboy.
Right, you're just kind of there and you're being an idiot. You do the same crap all the time.
Like Snoopy.
Now, Snoopy saves that ass.
You think so?
Look, dude, right, everyone does the same goddamn thing. Snoopy is always down. Again, the Thanksgiving special. I would just say this. They asked Snoopy, first of all, bad idea to ask your dog to prepare Thanksgiving dinner. If you do ask your dog and it doesn't do a good job, I think perhaps you should treat them better than they treated Snoopy. Because he is a dog. Mm-hmm. But he made them buttered toast, jelly beans, and popcorn, right? And they were pissed off. And in the end, the day is saved because they go to Charlie Brown's grandmother's house. After they leave, Snoopy Woodstock go back to the doghouse. Dude, he hooked up a turkey, stuffing. He had pumpkin pie. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he just didn't want to give them the good
stuff. Hell no, he wasn't going to give it to them. See, that's what I'm saying. Snoopy, much better.
You're right. But I will say again, if you ever go to a Disney park and Mickey is there, it's like meeting a head of state.
I've said this before.
It's amazing.
I don't know why kids like him. There's no reason to dislike him. But comparatively to the other characters, how much they use the other characters in all things Disney, he seems to do the least. But it took my daughter to whatever the hell it's called, Disney on Ice, a couple of years ago. And they slowly introduce all the characters that'll be there. And the kids are, yay, there's the Frozen people. Yay, there's Cinderella. Yay, there's this. So I forgot that Mickey Mouse even exists. But so all the characters are out there. And the last thing they did, like this cover drops or whatever the hell it is. And it's Mickey and Minnie. This place, got electric, man. These kids lost their S. It was, I could not believe the response. It was, kids start crying. You know what I mean? It sounds like the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. You're like, for goddamn Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, man.
This chump barely does anything.
Let's see. We were always talking about them redoing shows. Basically, ABC's found another TV show to reboot. NYPD Blue.
Oh, come on.
Did you guys ever watch that one?
No. They all blend.
Actually, all right. I will say, this cop show I liked. So, like, it started, remember, Dennis France was like the... It was Dennis France and... CSI guy, or not CSI,
Richard Belsner?
No, CSI Miami guy.
Oh,
red hair, ginger,
David Caruso.
David Caruso. But then they got rid of that, right? Mm. And then they brought in Jimmy Smits. I don't know about you guys, if Jimmy Smits is in it, I want to watch it.
He's the opposite of Ted McGinley. Ted McGinley, if you put him on a show, your show ends. Jimmy Smits makes it better. I do remember this about NYPD Blue. Now they bring up Dennis France, all right? They were like, there's a big controversial episode. The big thing you heard about was that on this episode, for the first time on network TV, you're going to see someone's ass. And it's Dennis France. And I'm like, are we upset because network TV is showing an ass, or that the first ass that network TV has chosen to show is Dennis France? Do you remember what Dennis France looks like?
It was kind of weird.
Nobody wanted to see his ass. I'm like, so what are they mad about? Like, wait, is it that we're showing ass or that we're showing his ass? Because, like, if I'm an exec, like, hey, can we show anyone else's ass on that show is a step in the right direction. anyone. It could be Estelle Getty. Show her ass before you show Dennis France's ass.
The sequel will be about, actually, Dennis France's character, Sipowicz's son.
Sipowicz.
Theo, right? Sipowicz. Mm-hmm. I sweat when I eat. Anybody that sweats in my family when they eat, they always bring that up. So it'll be about his son. You remember NYPD Blue originally ran from 1993 to 2005 on ABC because after they got rid of Jimmy Smits, they brought in Rick Schroeder.
He was Rick, then he changed the name.
And it might have finished with Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Wow.
I mean, they revived some careers.
So many Rick detectives.
Schroeder. Hey, I'm Steve Wonder now.
During its 12-season, 261 episode, it won 20 Emmys.
Hmm. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
For the grossest ass ever shown on network television. Dennis Franz, ladies and gentlemen. Dennis Franz. Yeah.
You know, he started a category you could have now on the Emmys. Biggest ass on TV.
Yeah, but the difference is that was before HD.
He's a trendsetter.
If they'd shown that ass in HD, I think the complaints would have been through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
I saw every crater.
I can see the pimples.
Ingrown hair.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that. I got a hairy bum. You almost see it. No.
Take my word for it, mate.
Right. Keep your jeans on. Orange is the New Black. One of Netflix's first big series. They've announced that that's coming to an end after this upcoming season. Seventh season will be its last. That show has been nominated for 19 Emmys. It's won 4. I remind you, NYPD Blue won 20 of them.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Didn't win any Golden Globes, but nominated. You know what? That's one show I haven't gotten into yet, but people that like it swear by it.
What's that?
Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things.
It's about a women penitentiary.
Right.
Or women's penitentiary.
No, just one woman.
One lady. In the whole place.
I'm the only bad lady in town.
I think that's what they did for Martha
Stewart. Solitary confinement.
We've heard a lot about Roseanne and then the spinoff, The Conners. It probably could have used this earlier for No S. It pretty much got the same ratings it was.
Yeah.
You know, it had Roseanne, when she came back, was a massive ratings thing, but also she had been gone for, I don't know how many years. So that was or being off the air for 21 years. So that initial number was massive. But honestly, by the end of the season, it had gone down. So the Conners basically just picked right back up where the show had left off.
Yep.
Now you have to wonder, is this going to drop off too? Is this initial excitement just because people want to see what it is? But
Mendel was good.
I'm with you. And I still say, like, you still have the same writers. You still have the whole entire, you know, same thing. You know, that's what we were saying, right? Like, The Office. Like, Steve Carell left.
Right.
You know, and basically the show, you know, kind of centered around him. But I don't know. I still think the Conners will be fine. Honestly, you know what? I just want the show to do well because Roseanne Barr seems like she's kind of losing it, and I like it.
And she always has.
Yeah, like she's always, like that's
this doesn't this seem not, this any crazier.
This is not shocking.
Right, and it's just weird to me now as it seems like the audience she pisses off, like, used to like her, and then the audience that used to hate her, now they like her.
Right, and that's how we do everything.
Well, it's kind of like the flip-flopping with Kanye, right? Like, the dude's always been crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Right? Now it's just
flip him an Ambien, let's see what happens.
Now he just talks.
Talks a lot, man.
Uncle Tom Ye.
Yeah.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. Man robs a Subway restaurant, then comes back because he forgot a sandwich, and then he gets away. Meanwhile, a Massachusetts whale-watching boat sees a 20-foot great white eating a whale in Cape Cod Bay. Scientists note that antidepressants in water now making fish horny as hell. Nebraska Hope's new slogan, honestly, it's not for everyone, somehow goes over well. A Texas man robs a convenience store and runs out with 5 cases of Bud Light in his hands. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's my cock.
All right, our top story. We go to Georgia, where a man robbed a Subway while waiting for his sandwich. While he was waiting, the man jumped behind the counter and demanded that they open the register and give him the cash. After fleeing the restaurant, the man realized he had left his sandwich there, and he went back to retrieve it.
What do you think?
Let it go,
what do you,
man.
What do you think you got?
Philly cheesesteak.
Have you tried the Chipotle cheesesteak?
Oh, it's fantastic. Not the cheesesteak, but I love their Chipotle sauce, man.
Okay.
It's great.
I feel like I like the meatball and the tuna.
Both great choices.
Yeah, I usually go meatball, but either way, not so good that I'd go back to get it if I had just robbed it.
I go classic club. A 62-year-old woman was arrested after an 11-year-old in her care started a house fire after being left alone. While the boy was alone, he was lighting strips of paper on fire using the stove.
Jeez, man.
And he managed to burn himself with one of the embers, causing him to drop the bigger strip, which caught the floor on fire and set the house ablaze.
Cool.
He was taken to the hospital with minor injuries.
Sure he was. Come on, man.
It doesn't really say the relationship between her and him.
It doesn't matter. I'm assuming, look, the reason it doesn't matter to me is I'm just making the assumption that she was supposed to be watching the kid. The kid was not taken there to watch her.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. So I don't know what she left to go do, but apparently it was long enough to where this idiot decided to, Steve, I mean,
he's not the idiot, Mike.
I set crap on fire when I was a kid.
Right.
Everybody did, but controlled.
Correct.
Part of the Boy Scout way.
That's right. And it was fun.
The Boy Scout way.
Mm-hmm. We head to Cape Cod, where passengers out on a whale-watching boat didn't quite get the experience that they were expecting. While out on the water, passengers were, quote, in complete awe when they witnessed two great white sharks dining on a dead finback whale. It was just laying there, belly up, mm-hmm. just floating in the water, and they were chewing on it.
Ooh.
A marine biologist on board was actually aware of the floating animal and was asked if he could document the animal on his way out onto that whale watch. And that's when he saw it being eaten out there.
Listen, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a memory that will last. Right. I think we can all do, hey, kids, remember when we saw a shark eating the whale?
They said the shark was minimal 18 feet.
Yes.
Jeez. Huge.
And isn't that minimal. Nature? Like, you go on minimal. A whale-watching tour to see nature. Like,
yeah, but you go to watch whales jump out of the water, Ted.
But they live in the same water that the sharks live.
Yeah.
Some people thought that would have been a cool added bonus.
Some people.
They're still going out to see the whales.
Charles
this
Manson.
This was just on the way. This was just on the way. They wanted to document it.
That's right.
So they still went out and did whale watch.
Right.
This was just a port. This was like a little port of call for an hour or two.
Oh, that they'd see a dead whale floating out there. Not freaking nature being.
Are you kidding me? I'd rather go see a feast. I'm in charge of more.
I'd pay for a feast, man, before I pay for that. Take me there.
Right. Like, you paid to see whales.
Right.
I added in great whites.
It's another 20 bucks, or I'm pushing you off the boat.
You didn't add in great whites, Ted. You added in great whites freaking feasting on one of these beautiful animals that you wanted to go see.
The whale was already dead. $120.
The whale was already dead. I'm just saying.
That's what happens.
A lot of the people didn't know that.
Yeah, they did.
No, they didn't.
They told them what they were doing.
The marine biologists knew whale watching tours in Cape Cod. They serve food on there, so why can't the shark eat?
Right, exactly. Here you're having a snack. They're like, oh, I was invited on a people watching tour.
Saying there could be kids out there.
Shark's
man.
Probably saying, look at that guy.
And now
chicken.
Kids understand Dang. Nature. It's nature. Circle of life.
Apparently, people flushing their antidepressants have been having an effect on the fish population. Scientists have found that increased doses of fluoxetine, I believe is how you say that, or fluoxetine, the active ingredient in Prozac, caused the fish to pursue females and show, quote, more frequent copulatory behavior.
You tell me if I take Prozac, it's going to make me horny.
No, it's going to make the fish horny.
Okay, why not me?
Because they're just trying to make you not sad.
Not that I need any help, but, you know.
Well, you'd hope a mermaid gets a hold of that.
Right, it does exactly. make Something. You happier, doesn't it?
I don't know.
So if you get happy enough, I suppose.
My dad was on Prozac as long as I've known him. Do those stories sound like a happy man?
No, they don't. That's why he's taking Prozac, Ted.
Just not as unhappy.
Yeah, Christ, you're right. I'm glad I've never known him often.
I just...
Right, exactly. Like, oh, no. This is as good as it's been.
I just don't know what a horny fish is, because from what I understand, the way that fish breed is the females lay the eggs, the males just kind of...
Do a drive-by.
That's right. So what are they looking for? Why are they pursuing the females?
Well, they're still going gill to gill.
Yeah.
Gill to gill.
Gill to gill.
Yeah. Face to face. Well, look, man.
Gill to gill is like making out for a fish.
But being horny doesn't mean you get laid. If you're not getting laid, you masturbate. So even if they're still in the swim by, you know, still kind of a point, man.
Flowing by.
Right. Like.
Police in Texas are on the lookout for a man that definitely intends to party. The man was caught on surveillance footage running out of a convenience store carrying five cases of Bud Light. They're asking anyone with information to give him a call.
No one's called. The people with information already drank them at the party
he
showed up.
That's right. Five cases of light beer. That stuff's gone.
I don't know how you can grab five cases. The man looked like he was struggling. No, he didn't. He didn't look like he was struggling at all. He looked like he just freaking powered out with those dadgum things.
Hell yeah.
But that's an awkward freaking carry to run out of a convenience store with.
Not his first time.
Probably not. It hasn't been long since Canada legalized marijuana, but there's already a story of someone being stupid with it. It's important to note that while studies show that it is less damaging than alcohol, authorities will still enforce it like alcohol.
Right. That's key.
Especially smoking while driving. And that's exactly what happened with to a Canadian resident. That's it for your headlines. With that, Mike Hawk is out.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time for 10 versus the FCC. Someone we'll drink and toast with a shot of the day.
Yes, indeed. It is all true. But in the meantime, we be la la patas biatch. So next time, please, do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.